A reading from the Gospel according to St. John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And a great many of the Jews knew that Jesus was there, and they came out not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests took counsel that they might also put Lazarus to death, because on account of him many of the Jews went away believing in Jesus. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer, with petitions, and with giving thanks, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God forever. When I was a kid, I loved Palm Sunday, one of my favorite church holidays of the year. I grew up in California, and we had palm trees and palm plants right on the property. We'd cut branches to decorate the church and for people to carry. And of course, we'd order pussy willows from the florist to keep that tradition as well. And at the end of liturgy, given the climate, we'd have a procession outside and finish the service outside with a dismissal at the front doors of the church. And here at Holy Trinity, again, it's always one of the most joyful, celebratory days of the year. And I think kids here love it as much as I did there. One difference, of course, is that there, we cut the palms right on the property and order pussy willows from the florist. Here, we cut the pussy willows on our property and order palms from the florist. But be that as it may, our Lord's raising of Lazarus and entry into Jerusalem remains a beloved and wonderful celebration. Interesting tidbit. The first time I ever read the Sunday Epistle in church was Palm Sunday, when I was 9 years old. I remember getting the assignment. I remember practicing at home. And the reading begins, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice." And I practiced over and over. Now about the seventh time through, the words suddenly struck me, even at 9 years old. The command, "Rejoice in the Lord always," is being given, leading into a most difficult and dark week. The kid mind kicks in. How can you rejoice always? How can you possibly rejoice when you're being betrayed, abandoned, mocked, tortured, and crucified? I mean, if that happens to me, I'm hardly going to rejoice. And if it happens to Jesus, aren't we supposed to be sad? I'm sure I asked my dad, I'm sure it was explained, but it took years to sink in that we can rejoice in the midst of darkness, that we can rejoice in the face of the difficult. We rejoice because no matter what we're going through, love will win in the end. When the world is dark, God is light. When the world betrays, God is loyal. When we're wounded, God heals. When we fall, God raises. When the world gives death, God gives life. When we sin, God forgives. When the world hates, God's love is so much greater. We rejoice because no matter what we're going through, love will win in the end. When Jesus sat on that donkey, on that foal, with all the palm branches waving and the crowds and the children crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, he knew. He knew. Jesus knew what was coming. But more than that, Jesus also gave his disciples this day of rejoicing as a sign and as a promise that even when the darkness comes, love will win in the end. We are entering the strangest Holy Week in my lifetime. The quarantines, the self-isolation, the canceling of services, and that's just the beginning. There's the overworked on the one hand and the unemployed on the other. And there's the hurt and confused children and the elderly in homes. And add to that the ill and the sick. I mean, the images coming out of New York are absolutely heartbreaking. And no church gatherings, no church services to comfort and encourage us, especially in this most sacred week. And yet we're commanded, rejoice. Rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now it's possible because the Lord's life-giving cross and victorious resurrection are realities that cannot be taken away. We're not the first believers to be deprived of our church at Pascha. We know that. Holy Week and Pascha have been observed in gulags, concentration camps, prison cells, on battlefields, in bunkers, from hospital beds, in the middle of forests, and in the middle of deserts, in exile and isolation many times before now. And Jesus Christ still rises from the dead, and he still rose in the hearts of those believers. Let me take you back exactly 100 years ago this very week. Exactly 100 years ago today, in fact, it was Pascha in Clayton. And the parishioners had no church to worship in. I mean, interestingly, just this past January, we started hearing the murmurs about this novel coronavirus thing in Wuhan, China, and which has now, just a couple months later, taken away our church building from us. Well, 100 years ago, the same week in January that we were hearing about this coronavirus, but January 1920, the parishioners of this church got the news that their church, their beloved church building, had burned to the ground. Their church building had been taken away from them. 100 years ago today, April 11th, 1920, was their Pascha, and they had no church building to worship in. Now, it may have been a while since then today, but this is not new to our parish. To not have a church building is not new to our parish. And our forefathers and our foremothers rejoiced anyway. They made do in their homes. They made do in faith, and they made do with a vision. And here we are, exactly 100 years later, without a church building to worship in for the most sacred week of the year. And we make do in our homes. And we make do in faith. And we make do with a vision. Because no matter what physical things are taken from us, God still reigns and Christ is still risen. And here, once again, is this promise of Palm Sunday. Jesus enters the holy city with disciples and with the multitudes, knowing full well what was to befall him. And in the midst of that, Jesus gives us this day of rejoicing as a sign and a promise that no matter what darkness befalls us, no matter what is taken from you, God's love will win in the end. Amen.